Hey everybody, welcome to All Have Another. This episode is brought to you by PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. Allison, the chef, who is a dietitian, comes up with these unique, amazingly delicious recipes for you. She puts together a detailed grocery list. It's organized in sections of the grocery store. You grab your groceries, you go home on Sunday, you prep your meals for the entire week with these awesome recipes. This takes the stress out of meal planning for you for the entire week. You don't have to worry about what your family's gonna eat when you get home from work during the weekdays. It's amazing. You guys go to prepdish.com/another, use promo code another, all caps, to get your free 2-week trial. Absolutely free. Let me know what you think of it. Thank you so much, PrepDish, for supporting the podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm so happy that you're joining me today. If you are new to the show, welcome. And if you are returning, welcome back. I so appreciate that you are joining me again. In today's episode, you are listening to episode 34. I'm talking with my friend, Jackie Carr. Jackie and I met in college at IU, and Jackie is a goal coach, and she's really created this business for herself. I mean, she is an entrepreneur through and through, and she not only does individual coaching sessions, but she puts on events. She also has another company with her friend, Mary Beth LaRue, called Rock Your Bliss. She's got her hands in all kinds of interesting things, and she's a really awesome online book club that I am super excited about that I just joined, and I already downloaded the first two books that they're reading this month and that they read last month. So I'm super excited for you guys to hear Jackie's story, and I had so much fun catching up with her. I mean, I haven't seen her in person probably in 10 years, so this was really fun. And I mean, social media is awesome because I've been able to keep up with what each other are doing, but still, it's nice to have an actual conversation. Before we get started talking with Jackie, I want to thank Ann Better from MHS, who's sponsoring this episode of the podcast. They're a health insurance company, and they are committed to helping you stay active and healthy. Ann Better from MHS is also a sponsor of the Drumstick Dash, and I want to tell you guys, this is probably my favorite race of the year. The Drumstick Dash is the second largest running event in Indiana, and it starts on Thanksgiving Day. So it's Thanksgiving Day, November 24th at 9 a.m. in Broad Ripple, and this race supports Wheeler Mission Ministries. Wheeler Mission is the largest homeless shelter in Indiana, and they have all kinds of amazing programs for the people that come through their building. You guys go to drumstick-dash.org to get registered for the race. I hope you will join my family and myself and Ann Better from MHS at the race. If you are a regular listener to this show, you know what I'm going to ask you. Would you subscribe and rate and review the show? That would be so awesome. And hey, give me some love on social media. If there's an episode in particular that you're really loving, I would so appreciate it if you would give some social media love and just let your friends and your followers know what you think about the show. Oh, and one more thing. I'm putting together a really awesome holiday episode. My sister and I are going to do it together. It's going to be really fun. We are going to talk about our favorite Christmas list ideas. And if you are a company or a small business and you're interested in getting involved in this episode, send me an email, lindsay@lindsayhine.com, and we'll talk about how we can maybe get your product onto the show. Okay, you guys, thank you so much. And let's get started talking with Jackie.
Hi.
How are you?
Long time no talk. So good. How are you?
Good. So I want to tell everybody how we met.
Okay.
So we're talking to Jackie Carr, and Jackie and I met in college. We worked at the Village Deli together. And I, at the time that we met, were you actually living in the that big house on Washington with Glenn and all of his roommates?
Yes, that's when we met. I was living in the basic fraternity. Yeah.
So Jackie was living in a house with like 9 guys. And one of them happens to be my husband.
Yep.
So, and I kind of give Jackie credit for me getting married to Glenn a little bit.
I'll take a little bit of that credit. I definitely was an instigator in that early conversation.
You facilitated some happenings. And it's just funny because at the time we were, we were probably 21. And I wasn't looking for a husband. So Jackie and Glenn were really good friends, and she kind of set that up, and I ended up figuring out that he wasn't just like a kid that worked at the Village Deli. He had ambition and goals in life, and he was pretty good, would be pretty good husband material.
Seems like it's working out over there.
It is. Okay, so we went to IU together.
That's right.
And then tell everybody kind of your background, where you're from, college, post-college, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Born and raised in Houston, Texas. Whole family's from Indiana, though. So I went there every Christmas, every summer, and loved the cornfield life. I always wished I was from Indiana when I lived in Texas. And went to school at IU. Once I graduated high school, there was like no doubt in my mind, I'm a Hoosier all the way. And loved my 4 years there, had a great time, definitely lived out the glory days, as you know, Linz. And after college, I went straight to Los Angeles. I had studied abroad in Australia during school, and I really loved that beach life. And the closest I had found in the U.S. was L.A. So I packed up my car, my best friend caravaned behind me, and we drove to Los Angeles. I worked in Hollywood for a little bit and did PR out there, and that was absolutely emotionally draining. And then found a company called Lululemon Athletica, and I was like, oh, let me take this life on, and started working at a yoga company, which everybody was like, are you crazy? And I was like, you'll see. And they did. I worked at Lululemon for almost 7 years, both in the stores and in their corporate offices. So I managed the stores. I worked on their brand team and also their people team, which is their HR team. So it was a great, great life at that yoga company. And just over 3.5 years ago, I left and started my own coaching company. So I own a company called Goals on the Rocks, where I do vision and goal coaching, and I do brand consulting for companies that are making an impact on the world. And then I also have a co-founded company called Rock Your Bliss, which is yoga and coaching together. So we do online programming, workshops, and global retreats. And that's where I am now. I live in, I moved from Los Angeles to Denver last year. And my husband and I got married last year and had a baby. So we have a 5-month-old little girl living in the Rockies. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, crazy life.
Do you love Denver?
We love it. We love it. I actually just got off the phone with a mortgage company because we really want to plant some roots here and own a home in Denver for a little bit. So was getting my goals on right before our call.
Now, did you have a stint in Chicago for like a day or something though? Somewhere?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my husband actually went to IU as well, and we'd met there in college and we're just friends. But years later, we got back together when I was living in LA and he was living in Chicago. And I fell very quickly for him at this age. And we decided to start dating, and literally 3 months after a long distance relationship, I packed up and moved to Chicago to be with him. And you are correct. It was 1 minute. I made it through one winter, which was the winter deemed snowpocalypse. And I looked at Chris and was like, what about the mountains and the ocean of good old Los Angeles, California? So we moved a little after a year of living in Chicago.
Okay. Now what does he do?
So Chris is a teacher.
Oh, okay.
He teaches PE, and he also has a long lineage in the CrossFit world. So he's been a CrossFit coach for a long time.
Oh, okay. Cool. So I feel like you've always been really independent. Is that true?
Absolutely true.
Okay. Because I got that vibe from you even in college. I kind of felt like Jackie just does what she wants to do and she gets it done.
That is correct.
So are you still affiliated with Lululemon at all?
I am an ambassador now for the company. So they have an ambassador program. So I have a store here in Denver, and my sweet pictures on the wall. It's really beautiful to still be so beautifully connected to that company.
How much of what you did at Lululemon did you take with you and kind of used as your, you know, to get you where you are with your company now?
97%. Yeah. I definitely did a lot of what I'm doing with my company now in Lululemon. I did a lot of vision and goal coaching. I actually was a recruiter. So I, for a year and a half of my time there, I would listen to people's goals, their goals to work at a company or run a marathon or have a family. So it was really great that everything I did at Lululemon really beautifully supported what I wanted to do on my own.
And so you had this vision of starting your own company, and you did that 3 years ago.
I did.
What were the first steps? How did you get started?
Yeah, I mean, the scariest step was definitely putting in my 3 weeks notice at Lululemon. So I feel like a lot of times that it has to be step number one. Like, I was trying to do my own company at the same time as having a full-time corporate position. And what I started to understand, and honestly what my manager told me, was that my Jackie Carr voice was getting louder than my Lululemon voice. And so, you know, what she had recognized is that, as you already stated, like, my desire to be independent, my knowing of wanting to be an entrepreneur started to overlap with my job. And so putting in my 3 weeks was most terrifying thing I've ever done. That stability, the comfort, the nest that you've built, and especially my corporate American Express, all of those things. I was so sad to leave. However, when you set a goal and when that voice does get louder, it almost is all like you don't have a choice anymore. You have to go do what you're meant to do. And so I left the company, and I'm a writer, so I have a blog that really helps support my journey and actually helps me move through a lot of the things I'm going through in my life. So I shared that I was leaving Lululemon, I'd be starting my own company. I had like maybe two clients already. Two, not 20. That was one, two. And it was very, 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 I want to say this nicely, ballsy, if you will. I had a tiny bit of savings and a sweet boyfriend who I'm married to now, who definitely supported that journey as well. And I went to Wells Fargo. I opened a business account. I went online and looked at how to open an LLC. And Lindsay, I went online and opened my business in Colorado. So I was living in California, and I was like, oh, I want to live in Colorado. I should open my business there. Mind you, I'm not giving that advice to anyone because my accountant damn near had a fit about it. However, it worked out well in manifesting my goals to live here. And the other steps are really sharing, starting to build a business plan. Oh my God, I went to like a workshop to build a business plan with like a 77-year-old man. That was amazing. And started to put an outline together and really, you know, tried a lot of things, failed a lot of things, and started to see my voice in coaching. You know, I did a lot of, I would say, replication. I looked at what's Gabby Bernstein doing? What's Danielle Laporte doing? What's Marie Forleo doing? These are all people very much in the coaching world. And then I started to see what feels right to me. And building my social media following, offering different workshops, you know, some at Lululemon, some at local coffee shops, and building from there.
Basically, you're a goal coach, right?
Yeah.
Okay, with the Goals on the Rocks part of your business.
Mm-hmm.
How do people find you?
Yeah, I would say I have a really beautiful following online that I think worked hard to create a relationship with. I know that sounds weird because it's online, but I really use Instagram and Facebook, a little bit of dabbling in Twitter, but also my own blog as a space for connection. I really like when people comment. I really like when people email me. And so I try to make my social media outreach very conversational, also very vulnerable and very honest. I know Instagram can get very filtered and beautiful. And I do try, I want to say try because it's definitely a practice, but I do try to show my whole life, not just the good stuff. And I would say that's been really great in supporting my business and building a space where people see me post, oh, here's a workshop I'm doing. Oh, this is the next goal coaching series that you can jump in on. Here's a retreat I'm offering. So I would say online's been great. And then, of course, word of mouth. I'm a big believer in personal relationships. So if my clients refer me to other clients, if businesses that I've done some brand consulting with refer me, I love that organic trace.
Mm. In your sessions, you have, you know, different packages people can purchase for your goal coaching. Can you kind of like break down what one of those sessions looks like?
Yeah, totally. So I'm certified in a body of work called iGoalU, I-G-O-L-U. And it's a really, really beautiful series that is broken down into levels. So level one is really about personal power and wholeness, which is really where I've been operating mostly. One of the calls looks like a core values call. So we do an hour session getting really clear on what your values are. What are your priorities? What's most important to you? And we really go big, big picture and then whittle down to your top five values. And that really creates a beautiful place for us to work from in regards to, A, looking at how you're living. Are you living your values or not? How you can set goals through your values, how you can set a vision through what really matters to you. And this creates a really beautiful juxtaposition in the world of comparison, in the world of shoulding. Like what do my parents think I should do? What does the world think I should do? Those societal pressures, and creating a really truthful space where you can stand in your own power and really look at what you want to be doing, like life design for yourself. And, you know, from there, the next call is really about energetic responsibility. So owning when you're perhaps in reaction versus being responsible for creating your life. So a lot of times I, as a human being, am in reaction, right? I scroll through Instagram and someone's in Costa Rica sunbathing and I'm jealous. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to go there. And I can find actually, wait, this is a bit of reactivity going on versus me actually looking at what I do want in my life, which actually is national parks in Utah, not Costa Rica. So it allows me to get truthful with who I want to be and what I'm doing. Not that I take away reaction. Let's be honest. I react about 87 times a day. However, if I can get aware, I think it creates a really beautiful conversation within around my vision for my life and the goals I'm working towards. So that's what I do with my clients.
I love it. Do you feel like, as someone who is guiding other people, and I'm picturing this as like, for instance, an example would be like a doctor who is, you know, prescribing all these healthy ways of living, like the pressure that doctor feels then to be making sure that they're practicing that themselves. How do you ensure that you're doing that in your own life?
Yeah, I mean, my other company is actually called Rock Your Bliss, Rock Your Bliss. And we always say, my business partner's name's Mary Beth LaRue. We always say, like, to start a company called Rock Your Bliss, you actually have to be in the practice of rocking your own bliss. So yeah, there totally is pressure. And it's pressure I like. I like the pressure of living a life of my own design, of being in the choice of rocking my own bliss. What I found really beautiful is a practice in forgiveness, is a practice in choice. So that when I get off my path or when I get really funky, I can lean on the tools that I know to get back on path. So that's where I find I'm most relatable, actually, as a leader in this work, is in being honest that it's work. It's not like a unicorn rainbow type thing where all of a sudden you're set and life is beautiful. It's a practice. It's actually a conscious effort. And so I like that pressure to live this work because I believe in it. And it's definitely the way I want to live in order to offer it to others. You've got to have that personal experience in it, I believe.
So Rock Your Bliss, you guys have a big event coming up soon, don't you?
We are announcing, yeah, we have a retreat in Ojai in January, the end of January. We're going to Ojai in this beautiful house, and we do a full series of yoga and coaching and really creating a space for life design in a matter of 4 days at a retreat in beautiful Northern California.
How many people come to those retreats?
Estimate around 20, okay. Usually. I would say our max, I think, is 30, but usually between like 20 and 25 creates a really good vibe.
Now, is it all women?
Our first retreat was like a quarter men and then all women, and we've actually really been moving towards all women.
Yeah.
So it is becoming a space we find that supports like a sisterhood, and that's something that we didn't know at first, and we've been learning, and our brand really does cater to that environment. So right now we are moving towards all women.
So Mary Beth LaRue, that's your partner's name?
Yeah.
Where does she live?
So she lives in Venice, California. Oh, no. She just moved from the beach to Silver Lake. She lives in Silver Lake, California. So, half of our business is in Cali, half of our business is in the Rockies.
So the way you guys work together, is that mostly at the retreats?
We've built our long distance relationship. That's what we've done as I moved, and our business really did launch in California, and then I moved last year. And we built an online program. So we actually have a program called 7 Weeks to Bliss that we offer throughout the year. And that's a really cool way for me and MB to stay connected. So in 7 Weeks to Bliss, we actually have an online form. So we have a private Facebook group. We have a workbook you print out. We have videos that land in your inbox every Sunday night. And you're ready for your week. And so there's principles each week, and there's about 100 people in the group. And so there's a live call every Monday, open Q&A online. And it's really rooted around the chakras in yoga. And we've created coaching principles through each chakra. So there's 7 weeks that basically go through the body. And there's also yoga practices you can do online. And it's a really beautiful program, and it creates such a, I would say, like, probably out of the 100 people, it's like, 94 women and 6 beautiful men with a voice. And it creates this really cool conversation around bliss crafting. What does bliss mean to you, and how do you rock it? And we definitely do, as I shared with you earlier, we do a values conversation. We do a vision meditation. We talk about your ego and your willpower and trusting in yourself. So it's a really cool place to be in this reflection of how you're living and where you want to be going and how you're interacting with others.
So how many of these a year do you do? Because I'm assuming when you do the 7 weeks, it's just the same group, right?
No. So no, okay. We launched our first one in the spring.
Okay.
And we had about 94 people in it.
That's impressive.
And then we just, it was so exciting. And we just launched our fall program, which started 3 weeks ago. And we actually have almost the same number, like 95 people in this one. And it's all different people. And what we're working on is a level 2. So we'll have like Rock Your Bliss, or like it'll probably be 4 weeks to Bliss level 2. So you'll have had to do level 1, and then it'll be a deeper dive. So then people can experience the next set of tools. And I think it's really cool because then these people can then choose to go on a retreat, or because we only have that one avenue of workshops and retreats, and now we can reach a broader audience. Like this fall, we have people from Scotland and Norway and London dialing in. Well, they actually listen to the recording because the call's at like 1 a.m. their time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like really cool to start to be able to share these tools globally, whereas with a retreat in Mexico, you get 20 people, mm-hmm. and not everybody is available to just jump on a plane and go to Mexico. You know, Lynn, we got kiddos in the world, so sometimes providing online allows us to have a sweet connection with more people.
Okay, you had a spring group, and now you have a fall group.
Yeah,
and
we'll launch again in 2017.
And that will be, you'll have another introductory group, but you're also looking at doing a level 2 group. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're building out programming for that like next step.
So essentially in the year 2016, you had 2 7 Weeks to Bliss programs.
Yeah.
So when you guys do your videos every Sunday, how long are they?
Those are already pre-recorded. So they basically are an introduction to that week's work and
okay.
that week's principle. And they're about 7 minutes long.
Okay. So you guys have already recorded that, and that's already been part of the plan and all that.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was thinking, man, I feel like Friday would come really fast and I'd be like, oh, I have to get my video ready for Sunday. And there's much more planning and organization behind this.
Oh, yes. 2015 was really dedicated to building this program out. And it took a whole year. We wrote content for a workbook, building the videos and editing. It's a beautiful process, and it's really cool to see it come to life after building it for over a year.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's like you get this big vision. This is what I want to happen, but you have to work for it and you have to put the time in.
Oh God. Amen, sister.
It can't just happen.
Exactly.
Cause I'm looking at all your stuff and I'm like, man, this looks really awesome, but that had to take a lot of freaking planning.
A lot. And that's, you know, and you do these things and you have this vision. You're like, oh my God, is anybody going to want to do this? Mm-hmm. You know, you have all those negative voice talk that comes in and then you get so excited. I remember when we first printed the workbook and we sent it to FedEx and we'd spiral bound and it came back. And I was like, oh, I want to do this. Like, part of the reason we created 7 Weeks of Bliss was really offering tools that me and Mary Beth both needed as well. Mm. Things that we'd been working on through our work together and our offerings. So it's definitely something we believe in fully. And I think when you launch something or when you build your own business, Lindsay, probably when you build a podcast, you have to believe fully in it or else people will feel that you don't.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to put yourself out there. It's like when I launched this in April, you know, I had this dream, I had this vision of these conversations I wanted to have, do people really want to listen? Do people really want to hear it? And you're really putting yourself out there like, here's what I have to offer you. Do you love it or do you hate it? You know?
Yes. And it's been so cool to see you launch this because you posting it. And you have 3 kids. It's very, very inspiring. So good job. I celebrate you over here in the Rockies every week.
Almost 3 kids, but yes.
Well, you know, there's one in there.
There is booming. One in there making me tired. So
he exists.
I totally get it. What you were saying, but I want to talk to you about that. So you are a new mom.
Yes.
So Evie is 5 months.
5 months today. 5 months today.
Happy 5 months. Now I don't see. Are you one of those moms that posts like every month picture like? Wearing a onesie with a 5 month sticker on their onesie.
I didn't do it. I'm not a sticker mom. I'm not. I have them in my own profile. I actually use this really cool board from Letterfolk where you can like change the dates and write fun things, but I don't post them. I definitely am embracing the mom life, and I would say I'm in the navigation of this identity. Like my social channels aren't all Evie. That's her name. Her name's Evie. And I'm really learning, like, what do I want to share? And, you know, Chris is actually pretty protective of her. And and I have a lot of followers that I don't know on my Instagram. So I share more on, like, my private Facebook page. And, you know, I think there is something sacred to keeping my 3,000 pictures of her laying on my chest on my own photo album and sharing the ones that are exciting and just really, really, like her first concert. I shared a picture of that one, things like that. But I'm still navigating what it looks like to be a mom in my own brand.
And I saw that picture. It's Ray LaMontagne, right?
Yes.
What a good first concert. I mean, that's like calm and soothing music.
I know it is. It is. She slept through the first half of it. I had those big headphones on her for protection, but we danced in the aisle for the second half, and she really is quite a champion of a babe. I'm very, very blessed to have such a chill child. And I would equate that to my husband. I'm not a chill human, as you know. So I think she got a lot of his sweetness.
Same here. Our second, I'm not chill. Glenn is chill. And our second, Lewis, is chill, and that is totally all him. I have taken no credit for that.
right. Give credit where credit's due.
Right? Can you tell me what that sticker board was called that you used for your...
Yeah, it's Letterfolk. L-E-T-T-R Folk. Yeah, it's on Instagram. It's like Letterfolk Co. But you can like change the letters. They send you all these letters. It's really actually quite fun.
Yeah, I know. I like that idea. I am actually a super lazy mom when it comes to updating things and baby books and all that kind of stuff. But maybe that's an idea for someone like me.
Yeah. And I think honestly, like I actually just, if you're on my Instagram, someone posted a picture with the board. I have to read it to you because it's kind of perfect for the goals conversation.
Okay.
And you can see I've tagged the board in it too, but it says, cupcakes are muffins that believed in miracles.
I did see that because yeah. I have your Instagram open right now. So that's the board.
That's the board. And
so
you
are
just
those
change
stickers?
Those white letters. No, they're like push letters. It's in like a black felt, like it's literally very vintage old school and you just stick them in.
Oh, that's so cute. You can, you can put whatever quote or whatever you want your day to look like on there.
Absolutely.
I love that. Well, I want to applaud you for taking Evie to a concert at 5 months old, because I think as a first time parent, it's easy to fall into the trap of, oh, we're not going to do that. Oh, we're not going to do this because we have to be home because our baby needs to go to bed at 7 or whatever. And
yeah.
The more children I keep bringing into the world, the more I'm like, man, I wish I would have been a little bit more go with the flow with my first baby. I mean, he was kind of difficult, so, you know, that was that. But you only live once, man.
That's right, YOLO.
I mean, I'm not all about taking like a 2.5-year-old that's going to have a temper tantrum to a concert, but your 5-month-old, like, you can wear her and put those big headphones on her and she'll probably fall asleep half the time.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It depends on the demeanor of your kiddo, for
right.
sure. And I definitely think Chris and I, you know, we do a lot of vision work. We do a lot of goals work. And then when we were thinking about Evie's arrival when I was pregnant, which I should note, I love being pregnant.
Oh.
I don't know if you love it, but
no,
I freaking love
I
it. Oh, man, I'm in that other posse. And we were visioning around the type of parents we want to be. And I know this always changes when the child arrives.
Mm-hmm.
However, that was one thing we definitely wrote down. We want to continue to have a life of adventure and exploration with a child. So we took her camping already at 3 months in a pop-up camper. And we've taken her to her first concert and a museum party and really exploring what that feels like and looks like. And obviously it depends how your child responds. But for us, I feel like it's really allowed her to be in that chill state and go with the flow, because we've always had her, you know, in a wrap or in a backpack, and she's gotten used to, you know, different people holding her mm-hmm. and different sounds and sleeping through a concert. So that's really worked for us. Mind you, we have a goal to have another child, and who knows what it'll look like then. We'll have to podcast it up in 5 years.
I was wondering about that. But, you know, you don't ask that question. You never ask, like, do you want another or whatever. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I wasn't even going to ask, but I was curious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, not anytime soon.
Right.
I'm still, like...
You're still a new mom.
I'm still a new mom, and I'm definitely... And I don't know if you went through this, Lynn, but I'm going through a lot of... introducing myself to a new body,
mm-hmm.
introducing myself to a new way of being. And I'm very much working on being present in that, being accepting, being forgiving. I literally don't recognize my belly button, things like that. So I know I'm not going to try to be exactly who I was before, and be it size or even personality. And I want to give myself space to explore that. So we definitely have goals to have more children, but not today.
That's probably a good idea too. That would be super stressful if you found out you were pregnant and your baby was only 5 months old.
Props, oh, don't scare me.
Props to all the moms that have done that, because I have not.
Yeah, virtual high five.
Yep, good job. Hey guys, I want to give a big thank you to Ann Better from MHS for sponsoring this podcast episode. They're more than just a health insurance company. Their main priority is helping you and your family stay healthy and active. And they are supporting the Drumstick Dash this year. The Drumstick Dash is one of my very favorite races. It's on Thanksgiving Day. It's the best way to start Thanksgiving Day. It's such a fun tradition. You guys, the Drumstick Dash takes place in Broderville, Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, November 24th at 9 a.m. And it's a super fun run. There's a 2.6 mile option and a 4.4 mile option. Go to drumstick-dash.org to register. What does it look like now, though, that you have Evie? Like, what is your, I mean, are you home with her?
I am. I'm exploring the word and, Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I am an entrepreneur and a mother.
Right.
I know a lot of people like to put that word together, a mompreneur,
mm-hmm.
and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I need to actually allow those to be separate. I need to allow myself to be an entrepreneur and a mother. And when I do that, and I'm still learning it, to be honest, I went back to work in June, and I would say full force July. I had to be in end of April.
Okay.
And Chris is actually, my husband's a teacher, so he was off for the summer. So
oh,
it was
nice.
Really nice to ease back in, and Chris got some really great, beautiful time with Evie. When he went back to work this August, though, we've really been exploring scheduling. So I usually work while she's napping, and then when Chris gets home at 3:45, I start taking my clients in the afternoons.
Mm.
So I'll have clients at 4, 5, 6. And exploring how that feels. It's been a couple months in that world. And I know for me right now, I'm definitely needing a little bit more creative time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely answering emails and taking clients. And I feel like there's a piece of me that isn't writing as much or isn't creating new ideas. And so I think probably next year we'll have to explore what it looks like even to have 2 days, whether it's daycare or really fishing to get my middle sister to move here.
Oh, so that'd be amazing.
I know. So we'll see, but I'm in the navigation of it. I'm really in the learning of, you know, having Evie and answering emails and traveling. I just did my first big travel trip 2 weeks ago. I was away from her for 5 days, and the pump life was real.
Oh, gosh.
The pump life was real. And just, yeah, I'm a total beginner. I'm new. I'm brand new.
So when you left for 5 days, did Chris take the week off?
No, actually, the grandparents flew in. So I actually
Aww.
Led a retreat the weekend before. My dad flew in. He was my manny.
Aww.
And then my mother-in-law flew in that Monday through Friday. I was gone, and she took care of Evie. And it's great because they don't live nearby. So it's been really powerful for me to learn how to ask for help
mm-hmm.
and give them that special time with her as well.
Well, and if you're not there, they're getting such better one-on-one time with her, because if you're there, she naturally ends up wanting you most of the time, probably.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I will say Evie does pretty well hanging
does
out
she?
With other people.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, what about mom? And
I carried you for 9 months.
Yeah, come to me. No, but I think it's really special. Like,
yeah.
For her to spend that time with her grandma, and for my dad to, I just love that my dad wanted to fly in and
Dude,
spend 4 days with her in the mountains. It
that's
was really
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
There, I mean, not to be sexist, but I feel like there's not a lot of dads, like grandpas, that would do that. You know, like in my family, for instance, it's my mom. Like, if my parents are going to watch my kids, my mom's watching my kids.
Yeah.
So that's really special. And Glenn's dad is like that, is like how you're saying your dad is. He would totally watch our kids on his own. But
totally.
Yeah, that's so special.
It is. And I was like, I was thinking it would be my mom. I was like, Mom, you got to come. I need you to watch Evie. And my dad was sitting next to me when I was having this conversation. He's like, hey, why haven't you asked me?
Aww.
I'm like, oh my God, you're right. And I like booked his flight the next day. So
that's so special.
Yeah, I think in my brain, I definitely do that. I'm like, oh, my mom will want to come. And
uh-huh.
To be honest, when my mom's here, she hogs her first granddaughter for sure. And so it was nice for my dad to have full time with her without my mom hogging her.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying, because I'm always like, you know, like right before we hopped on this call, you emailed me, and then I emailed you, and I was like, Operation Put Lewis Down for a Nap. And then you emailed me back, and you're like, getting Evie down.
Yeah, I was like, I need 3 minutes.
So I get it. And it's always like I schedule these interviews and I'm like, okay, I'm going to schedule at noon because I can get Lewis down by 11:30. And that gives him like 20 minutes to like maybe cry if he needs to cry a little bit. And it's a balance for sure. And
yeah.
And it's hard to be home with your baby all day. And then after having that role all day, shifting and then taking the rest of the day to do your work stuff. I mean, like when Glenn gets home from work, I kind of want it to be the end of the day too sometimes, but a lot of times I have to go do my own thing then, you know, and kind of just trade off.
Yeah, yeah. Literally Wednesday last week, my husband looked at me and was like, okay, we got to figure this out. Mm-hmm. I miss you. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're not getting any time.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. So we're still definitely figuring it out. And I'm definitely, like, sometimes I fail. Sometimes I'm on my computer till midnight. And I've been really recognizing where the values conversation, where family plays, where work plays. The thing is, Lynn, I love what I do. Mm-hmm. And I feel very happy that I've created a life where I love offering my services to clients, creating workshops and retreats, my book club. I love everything. And so I'm very lucky, but it also, my work ethic is real. So I really commit to what I put out there. And I think that's what I talked to you about earlier, like forgive myself when I fail 1 week. And I actually just made a vision board for me and Chris's relationship, like making sure I'm prioritizing what's important. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to be part of my learning this year and forever with right. having children. And I'm very much new and the scheduling and the balancing, it's a total practice each week, each day, I would say. So it's cool. I want to give a shout out to like all the moms, just like you who are doing it. It feels like a very cool tribe to be in this club. And, I definitely am working to surround myself with more moms and learn from them.
Well, and I definitely prioritize, like I will prioritize spending money on a babysitter versus spending money on buying a new outfit or, you know, anything like that, because yeah. I need to get away, and we need to get away together so we can remember what it was like to just be the two of us and talk about the things that we always used to talk about and not have children interrupting us or be worried that somebody's going to wake up and run into our room or whatever.
Totally. Totally. And I find that like sometimes my mom wrote this post-it once when I was a kid on a living in LA. She's like, sometimes you have to get lost to get found. And I think I've been getting lost in my own scheduling, my own work. And then I just have to keep finding myself again and again and again. And mm-hmm. so that's where I'm at. I'm definitely continuing to find who I am as a mom, as a business owner, as a wife. And I think when I choose to focus on that, it does become something that's a priority. So I like hearing that. Spend money on a babysitter versus yes. a new outfit.
New outfit or whatever it is, you know, whatever, yeah. whatever your, you know, whatever your thing is that you like to spend money on, because not everybody's into that. But
yeah.
So I want to ask you about your book club. I mean, I can remember, I mean, it was probably 6 years ago or 8 years ago, sending you a message, because I remember you posting on Facebook like that you were really into books and your book clubs, and you gave me a couple of good suggestions way back when. I don't even know if you remember that, but The Alchemist was definitely one of them.
I do. Yeah, and that? I know that was on there.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember the other ones, but I do remember The Alchemist. Is your book club online, and are you starting a new one in person? What's your book club life?
Well, okay. I had a book club in LA and I loved it. It was at this sweet wine bar and we'd meet once a month, and like I would even dress in character. Like we read Wild and I wore like a hiking outfit. Like I'm talking like a light on my forehead, a hiking vest and boots in this like fancy Venice bar. It was quite amusing. So I really go for it with the book club. And when I moved to Denver, I honestly didn't have a community built here. We really moved here not knowing anyone. And I wanted to keep reading. And I love reading with others. So my book club is online now. So it's on Facebook. It's called Novel Grapes. One of our friends from college actually helped us name it, Paul McCarthy, who you know, Lindsay.
Yeah. Paul. Maybe so, Paul will listen to this episode simply because it's you and me talking together.
I know. I'll have to
tell him. We'll have to let him know he gets a shout out.
I name dropped.
How did he name it? How did he come up with that?
Novel Grapes. It's a book club with wine.
Yeah.
Hello. So, okay. I mean, he made it up. I think I'm creative, but not that creative. Okay. So,
go Paul.
Yep. And he came to a couple in LA, and now it's online. So it's on Facebook and everyone's invited. There's like 700 people in the group online. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's fun. We're reading Amy Schumer's The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo. I know. I'm going to add you in.
Yes.
And then I just announced we're reading Glennon Doyle's Love Warrior for October.
Okay. I'm in. Done. Because I already read that book.
I know. I just got it in the mail yesterday. So I announce the book each month. I have reading assignments every Monday to keep you on track. And I post questions every Thursday. So it creates conversation.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I actually just hosted my first Novel Grapes book club retreat. So I took 17 women into the mountains in Grand Lake, Colorado, and we had a book club four-day adventure. And I gifted them all hammocks. We had book clubs every night. There was wine. There were s'mores. There was hiking. And we read one of the books. And for a surprise on the book club, the author Skyped in to do an open Q&A.
What book was it?
We read North of Normal. It's a memoir by Sia Sunrise Person, and it's about her life growing up literally in the wilderness. So it was really, really cool to be able to ask her questions and have her basically in our log cabin with us for an evening of book club. So it's really spawned into something really beautiful that was a brainchild of wanting to connect through books. And so I would love to have you and your readers in the book club. And I always take suggestions for books. I've definitely taken suggestions of like, hey, Jackie, no self-help over the holidays. Okay, perfect. So we'll have lighter reads coming in November and December. And it's just a cool place to build community. And I do believe next month I'll have a Denver meetup. So I'll bring people together at the end of the month to talk about Glennon's book. And see who the Colorado people are.
Now that's so fun. So obviously people from all over, if you have 700 people are tuning into this on the Facebook group, do you have the vision of like other people having like their own little meetups? Like if I'm in Indianapolis and there were five other people from Indianapolis, we have our own little meetup and you have your own little Denver meetup kind of thing.
Oh my God, that would be a dream. I mean, I would even like, we could Skype together just to say hi for a little bit and clink our wine glasses together. That would be amazing.
Okay, you just invited me to the group and I have two other friends that are in the group.
You do?
Yeah. Let's see. Who is it? Members. Jessica Hoffmeyer. Hi, Jessica. And I can't see who else it was. It showed me now. I don't know. So that's interesting. Question. Have you read Glennon's first book?
Our book club did read Carry On Warrior. So we have read it and it was amazing.
Okay. I need to still read that as well. And is it one book a month?
One book a month. Yep. Reading assignments every Monday. You can finish the book early, but it's just nice to chime in and create community and conversation. And I think a lot of people in the new year, they set goals to read 12 mm-hmm. books a year mm-hmm. or I want to read more. And so I definitely saw people posting about that and I'm like, hey, I have a book club. Let's read together. So it's been cool. And I want to start doing fun things on the page. Like I have a friend here who owns a cool company with like book nerd, like flare pins, you know, like buttons you can mm-hmm. wear on a jean jacket. So I just gave some of those away with like fun book trivia questions. So I'm trying to get my book nerd on as cheesy as possible. And I just own that part of myself.
So, but this is kind of like labor of love for fun and obviously builds community though for the other things you're doing as well. But this is like totally for fun thing, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely all books. Like I very much am protective of the book club as well. Like very no marketing things.
Right.
It's only books.
Right.
I definitely keep my coaching world separate.
Okay.
I did market obviously the book club book camp because it was perfectly part of this work.
Right.
And I did bring in some of my coaching to book camp. Mm. And it was really beautiful. I mean, we created conversation through really powerful reads. It was all women. And then I did some values coaching and some goal coaching. And I think it created a really cool connection to what you're reading, why you're reading, and who you're being.
Oh, I love it. And I see it's Piper, Lauren, McGee, and Paul. Those are my other friends that are.
Yeah.
And Piper's a new mama too.
I know. Sweet Piper, our village deli tribe.
I know.
Just reproducing.
Isn't this crazy? Okay, everybody. Doesn't Jackie's book club sound amazing? If you guys want to be involved in it, go to Facebook and go to Novel Grapes Online Edition, and I'll also put the link to that in the show notes. I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service, and Allison the chef puts together a grocery list for you, gives you these amazingly delicious recipes, and you get to prep your meals for the week on Sunday, and then mealtime is stress-free during the week. You guys go to prepdish.com/another, use promo code ANOTHER to get your free 2-week trial. Thank you, PrepDish. I want to talk to you about what's hot in your life right now.
Right. What's hot in my life. I love that. So here's three things I love. One, if you have a child, I love the Merlin's Magic Baby Sleep Suit. Believe in it. My kid's in it right now during this call while napping so I could talk. It's awesome. Number two, I really dig this company called Folk Rebellion. It's a digital detox company. I'm literally wearing their t-shirt right now. It says analog as folk. And so yesterday I did a digital detox. I find that I get really addicted to my phone. So this company is all about unplugging and connecting into what matters. So I dig them. And then the third thing I would say that's hot right now for me is, oh man, I need something good. I had my two. What's my third? Give me 2 seconds.
That's okay.
Oh, I know. It's more baby stuff, so just bear with the mom life right now.
Totally.
But
fine.
Baby moccasins. Aww. Evie has like quite the collection of boho moccasins. So I actually just wrote a blog on products I love. So one of the brands, she has like a neon pink mini mock pair. And there's another one called Freshly Picked. And she just looks adorable in these like leather shoes. So I would say like get your moccasin life on for the kiddos.
Love it. And the Folk Rebellion thing that you were talking about, I mean, are you on Snapchat?
I want to say no. I'm on it only to connect with my sisters, but I don't do it. So
okay.
No. I can only really handle so many platforms.
I know. Do you do Instagram stories?
I dabble with the stories. I've gotten more into it. Like last week when I was traveling, I was really into it. Instagram is like definitely the name of my game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very dialed in with Facebook still. Those are my two platforms. And like I said, dabbling with stories, but not sure how I feel about it yet.
Yeah, because my question is, I feel like you do a really good job balancing doing a good job with social media, but also removing yourself from social media. How do you do that?
Well, I would say the digital detox is important. Like yesterday, I really made a conscious effort to not be on my phone.
Hmm.
I used it only for communication purposes. But like consciously unconnecting for like a Sunday and using the phone only to like call people, like what a phone was used to use for. And I would say, too, my husband's really like, hey, you're not here right now. You're in some weird world on Instagram. How much longer? I'm like, oh, right. I need 1 minute. And so, like, having him hold me accountable. And I've actually started meditation, too. And that's been actually really interesting to explore silence and pause and how my brain's working when I'm staring at a screen. So that's been interesting to like find a deeper breath and go to a meditation pillow instead of Instagram for 5 minutes.
And then how do you make sure then, you know, you say you like to see people's comments and respond. Like sometimes I get in the habit of like, I feel like I need to respond right away. And I know that's not true. So will you sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to take this like 15 minutes to like respond to people?
Oh, great point. I do feel like I like to respond immediately too, but you're right. You actually absolutely don't have to. I actually batch my emails. So I only get emails at 7, 11 and 4 PM. So they come in like waves. And I think when I can kind of use that batch mentality with when I sign on to Instagram, like I don't have any of my notifications on. So you should know, like, I never know when people comment unless I sign into the app.
Mm-hmm.
So all my notifications are off. and I can like batch my timing and respond to people when I'm actually on.
I saw that when I emailed you and I was like, that's a really genius idea. The only thing that makes me nervous is I'm like, well, what if someone needs the response right away? I guess they could text me if they really needed something, right?
Yeah, my phone number is in my signature. And I say, I batch my emails. If this is an emergency, please dial.
Good call. If you need a response right away, text me or call me. I love that. Okay, couple of quick fun questions, and I will let you get on to your work and your baby and your life. Do you do the daily skim, the skim?
I used to skim it up. I haven't been skimming lately.
Well, I skimmed this morning. I probably about 20% of the time do I actually read it, and I skimmed this morning completely uninterrupted, and Skim told me that the first presidential debate is tonight, and I won't ask you any political questions. Don't worry, but will you watch?
I will watch with my husband, probably the highlight reel. I don't know if I'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of late. It's going to be too late here. There's no way I'm going to stay up. I don't know how late, but if it's past like 9:30, I'm not doing it.
Agreed, sister. Agreed. I'm in bed.
The Skim also told me that the Backstreet Boys are doing some live tour. Now, I wanted to ask you, back in the day, were you Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, or were you too cool for either one? Because I kind of feel like you might have been too cool.
I don't know if too cool is the word, but I grew up in Texas, so I would say I was listening to country music while you guys were listening to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
And you were listening to John Mellencamp.
Oh my God, always John Cougar Mellencamp.
I know how you feel about Johnny Cougar.
Love, deep love.
Well, Jackie, this has been wonderful.
Thank you so much. I'm honored that you asked me to be a participant on your show, and I'm just so excited to see where our lives have gone since what was literally the glory days of crazy. I was crazy in college, and I feel like I'm way more grounded now. So I'm so happy we get to connect in a different lifetime, literally.
We've all grown into different people. No, you were crazy. You were just fun, though. You were a good time and friends with everybody.
Oh, I'm glad you say that. I'm sure there's people that don't agree, but that makes me feel good.
I don't think that at all. I just, my memory of Jackie from college is like, Jackie's fun. Jackie is independent, like I said earlier. And And if you didn't live it up in college, then you probably would look back on a really boring college life. So good job for doing that, right?
I do feel good about my time. I learned a lot from those years. I'm glad our paths crossed. I'm glad I told Glenn to make out with you. I feel really good about my time.
You should feel good about that. And you had that, like, such a good group of girlfriends, like Erin and
Alex, who's my neighbor now.
She is?
Yes, she moved to Denver.
That's crazy. Does she get a lot of Evie time in?
She does. She's going to be here actually in a little bit because I have a client that I'm meeting with for 2 hours. So Evie and Alex are going to hang out this afternoon.
That's amazing. That is incredible right there. I love that so much. I always tell my friends, like, you know, Emily.
Yeah.
I always tell my friends, Emily and Sarah and my close friends, like, you don't know how much it means to me to see you have a relationship with my kid. And they don't have kids yet, you know, and I don't know that they will, but they don't. And so to see them have that special relationship, like to see them love my kid is so special.
Oh my God. I mean, don't make me cry now. I cry all the time, but it is really, really beautiful to see someone outside of your family really adore and love your child like that. I couldn't agree more. It's very, very moving.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we'll put your website and the information for the Rock Your Bliss retreat, all that. It'll be on the show notes, and I will let you know when the episode's going to drop.
Of course.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, my God. Tell Glenn hi. Give the kids a hug. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye, Jackie.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode today. Thank you, Jackie, for coming on the show. And you guys know I release a new episode every single Friday. So have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Prep Dish, and thank you, Ann Better from MHS, for sponsoring this episode.